My brother-in-law and sister-in-law just had a baby. And if that sentence is triggering for you, I'm going to talk about babies for a little bit. So care for your heart. Tune out a little. Feel free not to listen. We're going to talk about babies. You may have noticed a couple weeks ago, Mike motioning to me in the middle of worship like this. And little Zoe, Eve Valenti, was born on a Sunday morning in the middle of church. She's wonderful. She lives all the way out in LA, so I don't know when I'm going to get to meet her. But we keep getting all these photos of her in a diaper with a very serious expression on her face. You know, the little grumpy faces newborns make. And with almost every, almost naked picture we get of, I get of my niece Zoe, I'm reminded of the fourth trimester. Did you know that humans cannot carry babies to full term? Our bodies are not physically big enough to carry babies. And so there's this thing called the fourth trimester. After a baby is born, they're still in this womb-like space and state, and so they need to stay warm all the time. We did these parenting classes before Theo was born, and they told us, cuddle time matters. It's essential. Skin to skin. Newborn babies cannot regulate on their own. Their bodies just can't do it. And so they need another human body to help them with warmth and heartbeats and when to breathe, all of these regulation things. And there have been studies done that if a baby is on a certain side of a mama's body, the body will adjust their temperature to the optimal thing that an infant needs. If there are twins, sometimes different temperatures. It's wild. There have also been studies done with primates that, given the option for food or warmth, infant primates will often pick warmth. Maybe on a rainy day like today, it's not too hard to imagine that this warmth, comfort, security, and belonging, it is a need. Just like that psalmist sings for today, God's love is a warm blanket that covers us with this warmth and protection. And in this safe space, we feel safe. We belong. You know, we have this need to belong to one another from birth, and it doesn't change as we become adults. Here in church, in our baptism liturgy, we proclaim that we belong to God from when we are little all the way into death. We know there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God and Jesus. We name the truth that the world wastes no time in telling us lies about power and value and love and safety. And so together, we promise to speak the truth about our identity as children of God, to remember our first and forever name is and will always be beloved. We promise to hold healthy and safe space for all of us to grow in faith, believing there is nothing we can do to make God love us any more or any less. And with each baptism, we pray this beautiful prayer. Gracious God, through Jesus, you have destroyed the power of death. And since death isn't so scary anymore, we are set free to live with courage and abundance. So bless us with dignity, belonging, and purpose from heaven. And pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence. And all God's people say, Amen. What an important promise that in baptism we proclaim belonging not just for a few, not just for those who show up every week or who have memorized the most Bible verses, not even for the pastor, but this belonging belongs to all of us. God's love is shared vast and wide, and this specialness is not diminished as it expands. My forever hope as your pastor is that this makes you feel warm and cozy, secure, and wrapped in this big, beautiful, fuzzy blanket. We can see this beautiful belonging playing out in our scripture readings. Jesus in this gospel story invites the dreaded tax collector. He calls him out of hiding by calling him by name, inviting him out of this tree, and inviting Zacchaeus to eat together. And this interaction changes Zacchaeus. He apologizes for his unkind practices and promises to repair the damage done. Belonging, invitation, changes not only him, but brings this belonging and safety to the whole community. In the story of Abraham and Elizabeth, they're visited by these three strangers. We know it's God, but they don't. And we get to see this beautiful belonging play out. The golden rule is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But Abraham takes this one step further by enacting platinum rules. Do unto others as you would have them, Do unto others as they would have you do unto them. They're first. And so he asks these strangers, can I offer you hospitality? A drink of water, a refreshment, a bread. Would you like to wash your feet and rest a bit? He allows these strangers to call the shots and gives them agency and dignity of choice. The reasoning behind this? Abraham understands what it's like to be in their shoes. In fact, he too is a stranger in a strange land. And so this deep platinum hospitality gets played out again and again and again. Remember the stranger, for you too were once a stranger. And notice where this interaction leads. Abraham offers water and bread, but then Sarah makes cake and they get milk and they kill the fatted calf. And in the cultural context of this day, these foods would have made it not just a roadside snack or even a meal, but these foods of cake and milk and meat, this would have meant a feast, a party. Strangers are here? Let's celebrate! And from this party, these strangers remind Abraham and Sarah of God's promise for them, of descendants, that God has not forgotten them. Perhaps a sense of warmth, of re-regulation of heartbeats and breath and safety. Warmth through strangers. The whole thing is kind of goofy. Sarah laughs because she doesn't know what else to do. It's this beautiful reminder of God's holy presence and good promises and love and care. Belonging changes us, dear ones. We have recognized this as a congregation. As we have embarked on this strategic planning journey, we have named how lonely we are, how lonely our world is, how hard it is to connect, how hard it is to feel like you truly belong. We know it here, but we're having a hard time feeling it here, and in our hands, and in our feet. And what do we do with the magnitude of all of these things? And so as a church, we have named this belonging, this welcome, as a critical success factor. One of the four things we want to focus on. And so we've started doing this work. We handed out lemonade to strangers in the parking lot in the summer, and the reactions were wild. People were really confused by it. Is this free? Are you sure you're talking to me? And then we continued this welcome through water bottles, and again, the conversation right around the county fair, right? It's hotter than blazes, so water bottles and church fans. And again, this reaction was, what? Me? Are you sure? Do you want money for this? Are you raising money for something? And then again, on Friday night with this block party where we had 180 people in our back parking lot, and some of them were you, and I'm really glad you came and helped clean up, and thank you. And some of the folks there were preschool families, which is great because these are new people that are walking through our building every week, and so now they know us a little better. And some of them were neighbors, and some of them were groupies for the band because the band was awesome, right? Belonging changes people, and we need that now more than ever. And so this fall, we're going to explore this cute little hospitality audit. It's really cute. It gives us 9 different ways to look how we are fostering hospitality and welcome here, and what are some small things that we can do to be better at it. 9 tools of the trade. And dear church, it can only begin from this place where we remember that God first calls this belonging to us. We are God's beloved. And yet we know we cannot stay isolated because we will get dysregulated. Our heartbeats will get wonky and we will get cold. Our belonging is wrapped up in one another. And it will not be complete until everybody is here. And so to that end, I want to publicly thank our welcome team for their efforts in crafting a welcome statement for our congregation. Hopefully by now you've seen the email about this work. We're going to have a congregational meeting about this at the end of the month. And next week and the week after that, we're going to have some forums to have some deeper conversation about it in detail. But for now, I just want to read it to you. Now, I'm confused by this, but sadly, at this time in our world, welcome seems to be polarizing. And so, if me just saying this out loud has caused stress in your body, I want to invite you to take a couple deep breaths with me. In and out. Let's do it again. In and out. For the world is trying to divide us, tells us lies about power and value and belonging and love, what welcome is and what it is not. But I want you to put aside your assumptions about what these things are and stay grounded in who God calls us to be, to remember that we once were strangers in a strange land. And this statement of welcome and belonging is not just for us who are in the room, but it's for those who are still wandering out in the desert, who are still hiding in trees, wondering where God is. So take a breath in and out. Let me read this to you. At Faith Lutheran Church, we celebrate and give thanks for the many different gifts that God has bestowed on each of us as unique creations made in God's own image. We are called by Jesus to love God and one another. We reflect God's boundless love in loving and serving our neighbors with open hearts. As such, you are beloved, accepted, and affirmed here. No matter who you are or where you are on your faith journey, we invite you to join us. We welcome people of every race, ethnicity, age, gender identity, gender expression, sexual orientation, marital or family status, ability or disability, and economic and social status. We commit ourselves to supporting social and economic justice, environmental care, and anti-racism efforts as faithful responses to the call to love others and God's beloved creation. Christ's message, the gospel, is for everyone equally, and we strive to provide a nurturing and affirming setting in which all may gather, worship, and serve. Dear congregation, I look forward to this fall, to doing this little hospitality audit together, to be rooted and grounded in our belonging, and to work on strengthening our tree branches of support for one another and our wider community, to allow God's blanket of love to cover us and wrap us in warmth in these troubling times. And most of all, dear ones, to remember how faithfully and constantly we are loved. We belong. We are loved. Amen. Thanks be to God.